Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. The legendary broadcaster Jim Simpson passed away today. Great, smooth delivery. He defined smooth on the air. He called 14 Orange Bowls in his career, including this one.
This is the extra point conversion, the extra two that could win it for Penn State, or if they fail, pushing it to Swartz. Throws it in the air, up in the air. It is no good. With 15 seconds left, Kansas has held, waving a flag at the goal line.
The legendary Jim Simpson with a call on the 1969 Orange Bowl won by Penn State over Kansas 15-14 as Bobby Campbell scored on the second two-point conversion. By the way, Kansas had 12 men on the field, I think, for six of the plays of that drive. I believe it was five or six plays on the drive they had 12 on the field. They didn't notice it till the two-point conversion. Amazing. The next year, Jim Simpson called the game the next year, the 1970 Orange Bowl, where Penn State forced nine turnovers in the game against Missouri, two fumble recoveries, and seven interceptions, two of which belonged that next year to Neil Smith. Wow. The legendary Jim Simpson. When they needed a major league announcer to really get ESPN off the ground in 1970, Chet Simmons turned, and Bill Rasmussen turned, to Jim Simpson, who worked between 85 and 110 events a year on TV at that time, most of them for ESPN. That's what ESPN needed. They needed a heavy workload of college basketball, college football, golf tournaments, tennis tournaments. Remember, Jim Simpson could do everything. He was the host of the 1964 Winter Olympics in Innsbruck. He was the host of the 1964 Summer Games in Tokyo. He was, along with Jack Whitaker, the first two to announce all four major golf tournaments. He was the only man who had at that point in his career denounced all four major tennis tournaments. Now Chris Fowler does all of them. He did Major League Baseball, the All-Star Game, the playoffs. He did the World Series on radio. He did the first Super Bowl on radio. He was the number two announcer at NBC and worked with Al De Regattas for years while Paul Chrisman was working with Kirk Gowdy. Jim Simpson was a great, great announcer. Not a good announcer. He was a great announcer. Passed away today at the age of 88. And again, the one time I met Jim Simpson, it was we were doing the round table with Joe. It was a one-hour pregame show. It was Gil Santos, John Grant, Stan Savern, George Paterno, and me. We were the five announcers. And Jim Simpson wanted to hear what Joe was thinking about the particular game, and he asked if he could sit in on the pregame show and sit off to the side and take notes. Pure class. Remember, we taped it in the morning, And it was an afternoon game. We taped it in the morning. Actually, I'm wrong about that. It was actually the 85 game was a night game. And we taped it in the morning. He said he was classy. For me, it was a big deal for me to meet him, to talk with him, to see how a professional conducted himself. You cross paths with a lot of great people along the way. I felt like I crossed paths at that point with a real pro's pro. And you could tell every event meant something to him. It was not just something else for him to do. So that's our play-by-play call of the day, and credit to Kevin for doing an awesome job of finding a play-by-play cut that I think a lot of people didn't realize existed.
Sounded like it was recorded on a reel-to-reel, one of those small reel-to-reels with the microphone held up to the TV, but tried to clean it up a little bit.
Awesome job. Great, great stuff. Great stuff. Nathan Baird happens to be the beat writer for Purdue basketball, working here at the Lafayette Courier Journal, literally just down the street from where I am right now. And I want to welcome him in, talk a little Purdue basketball here right now, and get his perspective on the team that Penn State will play tonight that's ranked 24th in the country.
The article today dealt with Purdue basically feels that what's holding back Purdue is Purdue, not the opponent. Fair assessment?
Yeah, I mean, although I do think, you know, there has been obviously a little bit of a ramp-up of competition starting with that Butler game, you know, playing on a neutral court that night. Butler's a really good team. And, you know, having to go on the road in the Big Ten is never easy. So, you know, that accounts somewhat for that loss to Illinois. And Iowa's really strong, as we've seen. So, you know, they've lost to some quality opponents, but at the same time, in each of those games, they can see obvious ways where I don't know if you can necessarily say it's the only reason they lost, because, again, those are good teams, but they definitely undermine their own chances to win. You know, 18 turnovers against Butler, among the many things that didn't go right that day. A lot of turnovers that directly led to points and blowing a 19-point lead at home against Iowa. You know, another 16 turnovers against Illinois and kind of letting a couple of guys who are talented guards in Malcolm Hill and Kendrick Nunn kind of just have their way with them. Whoever Rayfield Davis wasn't guarding throughout that game was not being limited really at all at times. So there's some things that were just kind of underlying problems that maybe didn't get exposed when they could sort of overwhelm some earlier opponents with their size and when they would come out and really shoot the ball well in combination with that. But at this juncture of the year, when now that every night you're going to face somebody that's a quality opponent, you just leave yourself more susceptible to those things getting exploited. And I think that's what's happened a couple times here in the last few weeks.
In terms of wing defense, I think we know what they have inside defensively. Mm-hmm. I don't think anybody has three guys on the same roster that are like this. Yeah. The wing defense, Rayfield Davis was the Big Ten Defensive Player of the Year, and I thought he was outstanding last year. How mm-hmm. difficult has it been, though, for them to find other wing defenders or guard defenders that may not be him but are close to him in his class?
Yeah, I mean, I think Matt Painter said it all yesterday during the teleconference that he has with the media people. Somebody asked him just straight up a very simple question: who's your second best wing defender? And he said, I don't know. And it's not because everybody else behind Davis is kind of equally at the same high level. It's because all of them have at one time or another had their problems out there, some of them more consistently than others. So, you know, we talked to those guys, and they've said it themselves. Like, and they're all guys, you know, people like Dakota Mathias and Kendall Stevens, and you'd throw Vince Edwards in that mix this year now that he's moved from the four to the three, who are on the court for a lot of offensive reasons, but have to contribute in other ways too, especially Stevens and Mathias, who are thought of as shooters, and Mathias is a pretty good passer too and can help keep the ball moving in the offense, but they've got to come to play in terms of rebounding and defense as well. And sometimes those are tougher matchups for them, but then other times it's not. It's things that they, after two or three years, shouldn't be having some of the same problems with. I think that's what's frustrated Purdue, or frustrated Painter, and frustrated the players themselves a little bit too. And there's been a lot of kind of that, you know, looking in the mirror these last few weeks, you know, those guys need to step up and do a better job and take some of the pressure off Davis, because like we said, you know, against Illinois, he was guarding none in the first half, and he only had 4 points on one of four shooting, I think, and Malcolm Hill was the one going off. So at halftime, they switched and put him on Hill, and Hill, for a while, wasn't doing much, but then Nunn scored the first 9 points of the second half and kind of got Illinois started, and then they had to switch it back to putting him on Nunn, and then Hill got going again. And they got to have someone else step up and sort of augment it, because a similar thing happened against Michigan, where they were able to – whoever Davis was put on was limited, but – other guys were still getting their heads up a little bit too much for the opponent. Until Purdue gets probably a second or third guy that can step up and consistently defend the wing, it's going to be tough. The other thing that contributes to it is that a lot of times Purdue, if the other team has a really strong three or four guy, that's the guy that Davis is going to get. He's a lot of times guarded guys who are bigger than him, going back to last season with, you know, Sam Decker and people like that. So, that changes the matchups a little bit too, and it makes it even more important that those guys step up, because pretty much every team in this conference has somebody at the two or the three or maybe both that is a legitimate scorer.
You have to be fortunate in this to get people at just the right time. And for example, let's take Jake Rudock at Michigan. I mean, that's the number one thing that made Michigan's season head on the path to success. Last year, Purdue had that guy in John Octius, I felt.
Yeah.
It was a point of need. He couldn't get, for whatever reason, the UCLA thing fell through on transfer from Colorado State, so he ended up here. What about Johnny Hill? Tell me a little bit about him, because it doesn't seem, he's not the same kind of player as Octius.
He's not, no. We've seen a couple of things that remind you of Octius, the way that he has somewhat surprisingly explosive athleticism as far as getting to the basket when he picks his moments. But he's not quite the same level of defender as Octius. And the great thing about Octius was how when he was in the game, that the ball just never stopped moving. He was really good both offensively and defensively away from the ball, either, you know, doing what he needed to do defensively to be in position to make a play, or, like I said, just, you know, keeping himself moving in the offense, getting open, or just sort of keeping that flow alive. And Hill is still maybe not quite to that level yet. He had some turnover issues from time to time at Texas Arlington. For the most part, that really hasn't been a problem here. He's been a pretty solid player. You look at him and P.J. Thompson together really as one 40-minute player, I would say. Kind of the same way you look at Hammonds and Haas, because they're both going to get a decent chunk of minutes, you would think, on any given night. And Hill and Thompson just sort of bring two different looks to the floor. You know, Hill's 6'3", maybe a little bit more athletic and more experienced. He has that reach. And Thompson's, you know, 5'10 on a good day. I say that not disparagingly, because I'm more like 5'8 on a good day. But he's a strong kid, and he's a smart kid. And I shouldn't call him a kid anymore. You know, he's a sophomore in college, but has a lot of attributes that help as well. So that's what's been interesting is you can, you know, if you're especially defensively, when you've got a really good point guard that you're trying to go up against, and you can give that guy two really disparate looks, you know, two very different things that he has to go up against each time up the floor, because that's where Purdue's defense starts. Is they don't press the ball. What they do is take the point guard and have them jam the opposing point guard and just make it tough on them, make them really have to work to get the ball up the floor every time. It slows down the offense and hopefully just kind of wears on that guy over time.
We know that Penn State has struggled beyond the arc in conference play so far. And overall, Shep Garner's been the leader at 39%. But conversely, Purdue in conference play is giving up 42.5% beyond the arc. Why is that? Because normally that's a pretty good defensive team out there.
Well, it is. And really all this season it had been good, a good team from three-point range. Other than maybe one or two other games, nobody had really shot well from three-point range against Purdue. They were, I think going into the Michigan game, I want to say they were ranked 12th in the nation in three-point field goal defense. So it's been a good mark for them all season. It's only been of late, you know, and part of it is just who they've played. You know, Michigan has some guys that can really shoot. Iowa's got some guys who can really shoot. Illinois's got some guys who can really shoot. Part of it is just the stretch of the schedule that they've run into. But the other problem that you get sometimes with them is the one thing that can be tough for Purdue is a tough defensive matchup for their big guys is when you've got another big guy on the opponent who can shoot it from the perimeter, and now that draws them away from the basket to have to deal with those guys. That can open up some things for a team. So maybe that's something that Penn State can try to take advantage of, but it could be a tough matchup just because that's not a strong suit for Penn State. And if the Purdue's defenders know that they can really get up into guys and can close out and not be burned out there, that can be tough for them.
Nathan, one final question. I was debating whether to talk about Caleb Swanigan or about A.J. Hammonds, but the curiosity of me is going to get the best on this question.
Okay.
Why is A.J. Hammonds still here? I mean, I really thought that after his freshman year, this guy would go. And then after his sophomore year, I thought he'd go. After his junior year, I thought he'd go. He's still here. Why?
Yeah. That's a great question. I think after his freshman year, I wasn't actually covering the team yet, but I was sort of around. I was around then. And I think people look back on it and say he probably could have gone after his freshman year and maybe had the best draft position he would have had in all 3 years just based on his potential at that time. I think what you ran into was people had some lingering questions about his drive, I guess, for lack of a better term. He did get suspended for a couple games to start his sophomore year. He had just had some of those things that were kind of lingering in people's eyes. It really wasn't until midway through last season that he turned it on and was consistently good. I mean, it was really after, ironically, after I think the Illinois game last year. Purdue also went to Illinois and got beat on the boards, and I think, you know, Painter lit him up a little bit and was kind of like, where is this? You know, you guys need to bring this effort. There's no reason a team like that should be dominating us with the size we have. And then from then on, I thought Hammonds really turned it on and was, you know, someone who was arguably one of the best players in the Big Ten during the Big Ten season last year. But then when you talk to NBA people after last season, the question was, okay, well, we saw it for half a year. Now can we see it for a full season? He's always just had something else to prove. I mean, he could have come out at any time and been a second round pick. He would have been drafted somewhere down in the 40s. But, I think one thing I'll give Matt Painter credit for is he really, I don't know that they necessarily tried to convince him to stay, but they were upfront and said, okay, here's the data. If you come out early, you get drafted in the second round. If you're getting drafted in that range, here's where everybody else in the last several years who's gotten drafted in that range, here's where they are 2 or 3 years down the road. How many of those guys are actually getting in the NBA and staying there? And that wasn't the data shows you that those guys, it's really tough to get in the NBA and stick if you're drafted that late. So I think he made the right decision. I was talking to an NBA person the other night who agreed and said that, you know, he made the right decision to come back and try to, you know, extend his resume a little bit. Now the other problem for him is, though, he's gotten older. So now the whole time he's been slowly proving himself, his draft stock has naturally been dipping on the other side a little bit because he just gets a year older every time. I think he's going to be 23 by the time the draft rolls around. So it worked out fine for Purdue as far as him coming back, because now he's playing his best basketball consistently. I think it'll probably end up working out for him in the best in the long run too, because he's going to leave here with a degree and again be just the best formed basketball version of himself when he leaves too.
Yeah, I'll give him a lot of credit, because I know on the broadcast I said, look, there's a big difference between interested AJ and disinterested AJ. Disinterested AJ takes up a spot on the floor. Interested AJ kills you.
Well, the critical thing is,
interested AJ twice last year. So.
Exactly. And the critical thing is, it's something that it's not just what it means for him playing basketball here at Purdue. Here you've got a support system that's built in to make sure that you're doing all the things you're supposed to do. That doesn't really exist at the NBA level. You have to, I mean, that's grown men who are all fighting for a job every night, and you have to show up and take care of your business, and you have to do it on your own. And if there were any questions about him doing that before, which there were, and they were somewhat legitimate, then he had to get that corrected. And that's the other thing I think that could benefit him in the long run, because now everybody talks about how his work ethic and his approach and just the way that he is around the team has become so much better.
They grow up. Nathan, thanks so much. Appreciate the time. I'll see you over at the arena tonight.
All right, sounds good. Thanks a lot.
Nathan Beard, from the Lafayette Journal-Courier, joining us on the show today. Appreciate his time. Kevin will tell us how to stop A.J. Hammonds next on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Who needs the Powerball? You can be a big winner with a brand new Hyundai from Sunbury Motors Hyundai. If your New Year's resolution is to save money, check out Sunbury Motors Hyundai this month. SMC Hyundai has 2016 Elantras with sunroofs, Bluetooth backup cameras, and more, starting at only $17,235 or just $209 a month. Or Hyundai Accents starting at $14,493 or as low as $176 a month. Why buy used? Head to Sunbury Motors Hyundai. Get a great new car, a low payment, and America's best warranty. 10 years, 100,000 miles. You don't need the Powerball to win big. You need to visit Sunbury Motors Hyundai. Sunbury Motors Hyundai in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza and at sunburyhyundai.com. SMC, selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
10% down for 84 months. 3.64% with approved credit through MSB Bank. All buyers qualify. Tax and tax extra. All rebates to dealer. See dealer for complete details.
Taking the step to owning your first home, but finding it difficult to finance such a large purchase? At Mifflinburg Bank and Trust, we understand that some mortgages just will not work for first-time home buyers. House owners just like you, who need a little more help paying for all the costs that come with buying a home, may benefit through our first-time home buyer programs. Our local loan experts will work with you to assist and guide you to the perfect financing plan to walk you in the right direction to your new front door. Mifflinburg Bank and Trust, your community's trusted financial resource. Find us at mbtc.com. Member FDIC Equal Housing Lender.
Come see what Mifflinburg Bank can do. Mifflinburg Bank and Trust. Leave your future to us. See what Mifflinburg Bank can do. Cause we're the bank that works for you. Yeah, we're the bank that works for you.
I had Belvita breakfast biscuits this morning. Then what did I do? Made my bed, fed my fish, got dressed, cleaned the dish, remembered to floss, but still didn't do it. Ran a lap on the track, dropped my phone, didn't crack, got in before the boss, made sure that he knew it. Oh, hey, you just getting here?
Crunchy Belvita breakfast biscuits are made with delicious ingredients and carefully baked to release steady energy all morning long. Share your morning win. Belvita.
Morning win.
The cloud. It may sound nebulous, vague, hazy, but the value of cloud computing for your workforce can be very real indeed. That's why thousands of organizations of all types and sizes are deploying in the Kronos Cloud, transforming the way they access workforce management solutions to reduce labor costs, improve workforce productivity, and minimize compliance risk. For a clear view of the Kronos Cloud, visit Kronos.com. Kronos, workforce innovation that works.
Oh, my stars, Drew, what are you doing?
Hey, Lisa Barrick. Well, kid left for college, and it's time to make some changes.
Drew, resale value is key, and eliminating a bedroom is a bad idea.
Even if it's for my huge mousetrap collection?
Ooh, that's gotta hurt. Buying or selling, resale value is always a factor. Let me help you maximize your real estate investment. Call me, Lisa Barrick, at Coldwell Banker Penn 1 Real Estate, 524-7500 or coldwellbankerpenn1.com.
By the way, Josh Reeves is not going to play tonight for Penn State. He's out, did not make the trip, ill. So Davis Zemgulis will get his first career start tonight for Penn State. See, we're making a little news here. And Matt Linegrover, the new offensive line coach at Penn State. So, a lot going on. Final half hour coming up, and we'll talk about the NFL going back to Los Angeles. Also, our Bozo of the Days of Beauty. You're going to love this. Oh, beautiful. It's an organization. It's not the NFL.
Where Sealands Grove, Sunbury, and Lewisburg turn first for news. News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Middleburg man pleads no contest in sexual assault. Plus, AccuWeather says tonight mostly cloudy with a little snow at times later. I'm Matt Catrillo, WKOK News. A Middleburg man will spend time in prison for sexually assaulting a 7-year-old girl. District Attorney Mike Pietsu says Ryan Sunday pleaded no contest to charges including felony corruption of minors and indecent assault. Sunday was charged for assaulting the girl on January 4, 2015 in Franklin Township, Snyder County. Pietsu says Sunday will be evaluated to determine if he is a sexually violent predator. Sunday faces up to 12 years in prison. He was currently at the Snyder County Prison, where he has been since his arrest. An autopsy has been set on a 12-year-old Pennsylvania girl who state police believe was accidentally shot by a constable serving her father with an eviction notice. Police say Sierra Meyer was home sick when she was shot by Constable Clark Steele at her apartment near Duncannon about 10 a.m. Monday. Bill Stoffler, a Dauphin County constable who speaks for others in the area, says Steele is distraught and says it was, quote, absolutely not intentional that the girl was shot. The girl's father, 57-year-old Donald Meyer, has been charged with aggravated assault and other crimes for allegedly pointing a loaded rifle at the constable. That's when police say Steele returned fire, the bullet traveling through Meyer's arm and striking his daughter. The autopsy is Wednesday. The Perry County District Attorney is reviewing the shooting. AccuWeather says tonight mostly cloudy with a little snow at times later, accumulating to a coating or to an inch and a low of 15. Tomorrow a couple of flurries in the morning, otherwise mostly cloudy and not as cold with a high of 36. Tomorrow night partly cloudy skies, low of 27. Friday some sun, then increasing clouds and milder, highs warming up to 45 degrees. For the latest news all the time, go to WKOK.com. I'm Matt Catrillo, WKOK News.
Is this what your workday sounds like, or is your day spent on the road making deliveries or showing real estate? Then you know what it's like. You're busy as a beaver. You barely have enough time to get all your work done, let alone look for a new work vehicle. Now your problem is solved, thanks to Beaver Motors Commercial, the team that comes to you.
Whether you have one vehicle in your fleet or 100, our free Business League program makes it easier for your business. Hi, I'm Scott Richards, commercial sales consultant with Beaver Motors. Our free Business League program not only gives you extra new vehicle incentives like up to $1,000 graphics or upfit allowance, Business Link also means you get priority service, free pickup and delivery of your work vehicle, and more. Everything to save you time, money, and hassle.
Put the Beaver Motors commercial team to work for you today. Call 570-658-0100. 570-658-0100. Beaver Motors Commercial, Route 522, Beaver Springs.
Join us for an elegant celebration of that moment he finally popped the question.
Let's get ready to party. Calling all you brides and your entourage. Come to our bridal fair on Thursday, January 28th from 5 to 8 p.m. at the Cellars at Brook Park in Lewisburg. There'll be prizes galore, appetizers to sample, and a fashion show to dazzle your spirit. Our vendors will be offering a cool and unique selection of stuff you have to have but didn't even know existed. Seriously amazing stuff. But the big reason you need to come to our bridal fair on January 28th, our third annual competition that involves the brides getting a little dirty. You're up for the challenge, right? You want to win? Prove it. Get ready to work for your chance for a honeymoon package. Grab your girls and your groom, then head to the bridal fair at the Cellars at Brook Park in Lewisburg for a night you won't forget.
Sponsored by Wise Markets, the Cellars at Brook Park, Tanya's Bridal, and WKOK.
They say life is about choices. So let me introduce you to one of the best choices you can make in life. Grainger Choice. The Grainger Choice product line has just about everything we need to keep this place running. From batteries to V-belts, safety to sump pumps. And with Grainger Choice, we can trust that every product is dependable and cost-effective. When it comes to making life choices, here's a great one. Grainger Choice. Get it? Got it? Good. Call clickgrainger.com/choice or stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
The following was recorded at a Burger King drive-thru at breakfast.
Morning, welcome to Burger King.
Can I get a sausage, egg, and cheese croissant sandwich?
Sure can. Right now they're 2 for $4, but could you say that word again?
Croissant sandwich?
Oh, where I'm from, we say croissant sandwich!
Wow. Where are you from?
From behind this counter?
Piled high with thick-cut bacon or savory sausage, fluffy eggs, and melted cheese. Get 2 croissant sandwich breakfast sandwiches for just $4. Only at Burger King. Limited time only. Price and participation vary.
Greetings, Mark Lawrence from WKOK Sunrise. A two-part show on Thursday morning. We'll start out with Jerry Carnes. He's a man considering a run for U.S. Congress. We'll talk about his exploratory campaign and why he wants to run against Tom Marino. Then we're going to hear from John Moore, the local history buff and author. We'll talk about the one-year anniversary and an insider's look at the old Northumberland County Prison, even on the day of the fire. It is WKOK Sunrise, 6 to 8:30 on WKOK and WKOK.com.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
What was really awesome was the moment where Jennifer Wakeman said, if I win Powerball tonight, all of my coworkers get a mill. Unbelievable. You can't put a price on that kind of generosity. Go, Jen, go. Well, you're saying that's not an accurate quote?
No, I think the accurate quote that Jen said was, if I hit the 1.5, what is it, 1.5 billion now? I don't know. It keeps changing. But if she hits it,
1.5 billion.
Yeah, if she hits it, she's buying her own island and waving goodbye. I think that's were the exact words.
Well, Dick Girardi said he would buy his own island. And he said he would give Jeff Tarman and myself each a million. I said, well, can we visit you on the island? He goes, no. I said, that's okay. I said, I've got a million. I can go someplace else.
Well, there's always Skype. You know that. You can always do that.
That's okay. Get this. Here is our bozo of the day. It is the Wisconsin Interscholastic Athletic Association.
Okay.
You are no longer allowed, as fans, to chant airball. There are a list of items as fans you can't chant at games anymore. Okay?
Really?
And here's the list. Fans at Wisconsin high school basketball games can no longer, and this is men's or women, boys or girls, can no longer chant airball. You can't do that. Fundamentals. There's a net there. We can't hear you. You can't chant scoreboard. And in tournament play, you're not allowed to chant seasons over. The email was sent to member schools in December. April Gell got a hold of this, who plays girls basketball. Very good girls basketball player, as a matter of fact. Three-point star, one of the top scorers on her team. And she sent out a tweet in which not all the language was great, so April shouldn't have done that part. And they got mad at her for putting it out there. All right? The member schools need to address this, but these are issues, like other sportsmanship issues brought to our attention, are shared with our members for awareness. Well, I'm aware that you're idiots. Okay?
That's pretty aware right there.
Now, name for me anywhere in here in the words sieve, airball, you can't do that, fundamentals, we can't hear you, scoreboard, or season's over, which is personal, attacks your ethnicity, attacks your religion, attacks your preference, attacks you individually as a person. Where? Let's ban fun. Fun's banned. Can't do that. Banned. Now, look, we talked about the Bengals fans the other night on a professional level throwing stuff at Ben Roethlisberger. Absolutely wrong. Profanity, wrong. Slurs, wrong. Airball, here's one for you. Come on down the floor. Knock down the next one. Or come down the floor, give the ball up, and pass the ball to somebody and they score. They can chant airball all they want. You just scored. Guess what? Here's a hint for you. In every month, once you leave the cocoon, bills will arrive. And they may be your own personal airball. And guess what? you're going to have to find a way to pay them. Because they're not going to give you a pass in life. They're not going to give you another pass. Simple as that. Just not going to. Right? You can't take them chanting airball. You shouldn't be out there. Okay? Period. You shouldn't be there. If they're chanting airball, you shouldn't, and you can't take it, and you go into the fetal position, you shouldn't be playing. I wouldn't let you play.
From Purdue to Shamokin Dam, Cindy on the line to chat with you, Steve.
Cindy, how are you today?
I'm great, thanks. How are you, Steve?
Doing great.
Good. So here's what I'm wondering. How are they going to enforce this? What if it's a parent? What if it's the visiting team? You know, a guest? What if it's just somebody that paid their $5 to come to the game off the street? I mean, are they going to punish the kids? We've seen this model before. If we don't like what you do, then we punish the kids instead. But what are they going to do about it? You know, I think it's another one of these ridiculous things that people do, and it's unenforceable.
Of course it is. I mean, what do you do? Shut the game down?
Right. I mean, are you gonna call in the security to expel people from the room? How are you gonna? Who's gonna say who did it? You hear me yell out. What was one of them? Nothing but the net or whatever. You hear me yell this out. No one will identify who it is. So now, what are you gonna do?
Well, we're looking at the massive airball. It's basketball. Here's one. Next time, put it in the net.
Well, that's a thought, too. I just think this becomes absurd. If they were screaming obscenities,
agreed.
If they were provoking rioting, if whatever, I get
agreed.
It. But how
you
on
are,
earth
you're spot
they,
on.
How are they going to enforce this? I mean, are they going to hire extra referees who are standing over the audiences in case one of them, you know, says something they don't like? And then are they going to have security drag the person out in the middle of the game? I mean, this will bring games to a screeching halt while the circus goes on of expelling people. And I don't know why they're upset at this young woman for making it public, because if you're going to enforce this rule, you're going to have to tell everyone at the game. Here's the list of things you're not allowed to say. I mean, and the only resource, the only thing they can resort to is punishing the students who are actually, and the players, neither of whom are necessarily the people yelling these things. So I just think they've set up a ridiculous paradigm in which to function. I just think it's ridiculous.
As long as it's not personal, and it's not crossing lines, okay? If it's personal and crossing lines, which is exactly your point, Cindy, if it's personal and crossing lines, there's absolutely no place for it. This is benign fun, okay? Stop legislating fun, okay? Go back to your cocoon.
Have you ever gone to the beach down at the Jersey Shore, down to Jersey beaches at all?
I have.
Well, we took our niece there once when we were much younger, and as you approach the beach, there were these huge signs. No this, no that, don't do this, don't do that, no beverages, no food, no beach balls, no cigarettes, no cans or bottled drinks, no this, no that. And my husband turned to me and said, no fun, don't let me catch you smiling, don't splash in the ocean, right? Don't kick up the sand. I mean, just
right.
What's left?
Well, I think they could save themselves a lot of time at paint by just telling you what you can do.
Well, there's nothing. Then they just have big blank signs up.
That's
so,
right.
So, I mean, it's
the only thing you'd be allowed to do would be exist.
I guess lay there. Just lay there motionless.
Right. Yeah, just exist.
Right? It's just. I don't think there should be ugly taunting at any event. But that
does.
I mean, you have to be rational in the rules that you make, that you can enforce them, and ask yourself, what will you do if somebody yells? You know, something on this forbidden list of forbidden words.
I'll tell you what, it happens a lot in high school. If you get two really active student sections, one student section will start a chant, and it's benign. There's nothing wrong with it. And then the other student section will start chanting, "We can't hear you." And then the other student chants, I actually find that entertaining. I actually find that as being part of the whole game. I mean, we talk about on the broadcast, it is great to have a game that you're doing that has an active fan base, because it makes it sound better and it makes it feel better to watch.
Look, sure. I don't want to be broadcasting games where every single where the place sounds like you just sunk a par on 17. All right, great. All right.
Okay. Thank
whispering. You. Whispering. You'll have to be whispering in the background, right? Because you don't want to make any noise. I mean, I know that some of the most exhilarating moments in watching my son wrestle were when the entire gymnasium was going crazy while he was pinning somebody. You know, and now that may have hurt the feelings of the kid that got pinned, and that may have hurt the feelings of his mother. I understand, because frankly, my son was pinned earlier in his career, and I felt bad for him when that happened. But if you don't want that experience, there's just one way to avoid it. And do you know what that is, Steve?
The one way to avoid it is to turn around and come back and do what you got to do to be better. But also the other part is just to be mentally tough, block it out, and have personal pride within yourself as to who you are, because you know who you are better than anybody else.
Well, all of that is true, but what I was going for is don't wrestle. I mean, this is part of the... You know, sometimes when you kick the football, you hit the upright. Not to go to my repeated theme. I mean, that just happens. Now, we can avoid that by removing the uprights. And then that young person would never suffer that embarrassment, right, if we removed the uprights. But that's not the nature of this event.
Oh, it's like the father walking back with the trophy, and they just won the entire tournament. He looks at it and goes, "Participant." He goes, "What?"
We beat everybody
else.
We beat
everybody.
Here.
What are you talking about? Participant.
I think somebody should ask Wisconsin, whatever their Interscholastic Athletic Association, exactly how they intend to enforce this rule, and what happens if it is not a kid, a student.
Well,
what are you going to do?
Just remember, this is a body that makes decisions and have absolutely no idea how to implement them, so they're perfect.
Right.
All right.
Take it easy. Bye.
Cindy, I have to ask you a quick question, though.
Okay.
You were a wrestling mom.
I was.
All right. And I knew that. But I have to ask this. Did you have that? Was there an inner monster that came out during a wrestling match? Because that's the way it is with my wife, a very timid woman who does not say a word. When her son is wrestling, she's A, nervous, and B, very vocal, which is very out of character for her.
Well, there might have been, except that I was holding a video camera that recorded my every word. And it would, if I were to unleash my wrath into the air, that would have been on there, much to the unhappiness, perhaps. There was one time when I proffered some advice to my son at the top of my lungs. To this day, my husband laughs about that because it's on the tape, right? And that choked me off from doing that anymore, yelling my sage advice.
Well,
More than anything, I leaned. You know, when you pin people, well, at least the way that Jay often did it, he got a grip on them, and then he would lean them to the mat.
I've seen that. I've seen that happen before. I've seen the mom lean a little bit,
And I'm leaning with him. I'm leaning with him while trying to keep the camera level, because there were a lot of sideways shots, because I'm helping him up in the stands by leaning with him to help him push it in.
Well, you'll appreciate this because you're in good company, because it happened on a video, on a recording that we had. My wife is yelling, "Move, Daniel, move!" And he's watching it back, and he's like, "Thanks, Mom. You realize I don't hear you." She goes, "Yeah, but you're hearing it now, aren't you?"
Yeah. Well, one time my husband barked something out to my son in a big match, and I swear that Jay heard it because he immediately reacted. He immediately did what that meant. And he won. So I think there are, on rare occasions, right, that single voice comes through to you. But in general, everyone's yelling in the gym, and how you'd pick out your mother or father's voice over all of that is beyond me. But Don yelled, "You're out," And when Jay realized that he was out, he stood up, turned around, and pinned the guy. So, but that was the one time in 5 years of wrestling that I think he heard anything anyone was yelling. So, anyway, have a good one, guys.
Thank you. Do you know how many times I yelled out to my kids when they played?
Oh, I can count on no fingers how many times.
I know. I didn't.
I can't say that. I try not to, but it just doesn't happen.
I never have. I never did. I let them play. It's just me. Everybody has their own way of doing things. It's just me. I also made sure that when other kids made plays, I was supportive of them making plays, even though I was really just watching my sons play. So, Akil Lynch is going to transfer. I don't think that's any surprise to anybody whatsoever. I think all of us expected that. He's going to graduate with his degree and be a graduate transfer and go someplace else. Look, you've got a logjam now at running back, led by Saquon Barkley. Akil wants to get his opportunity to play and be the number one back someplace else. There isn't a single person around the program that did not expect this to happen. It was his decision, but he's going to get his degree in the spring. He'll be a graduate transfer. There'll be some program out there will get them. They're going to get themselves a really good running back. Akil can block. He's a good receiver and a very good running back. It turns out that he's now on a roster that has a great running back on it, Saquon Barkley. And they're recruiting guys also in that same mold as Barkley at the moment, too. And I hope Akil does extremely well wherever he goes. Great guy. And he will leave in the spring with his degree, and then he'll transfer as a graduate transfer. So he'll be eligible to play next year. We will come back, wrap things up in a moment, here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
It's all about smiles with Dr. Jenkins and his staff and his grateful dental patients.
I really like the girls that are here. They treat you so nice, and it's just like you're part of a family. And that makes you feel comfortable because they make you feel relaxed.
When I come into Dr. Jenkins' office, it's like a second family. I'm immediately surrounded by people who care. Everybody knows you by name. It's completely warm.
Doctor and the staff here are wonderful, and I'm so glad that I decided to come here. Everybody treats you like you're one of the family and seem excited about what they can do for you and what your teeth look like when they're done, and they really care about what they're doing here. I was really worried, but they were really nice here, and they made me feel relaxed.
I've enjoyed coming here. The staff at Dr. Jenkins is wonderful. Everyone is so kind and gentle and so patient. It's just a wonderful experience.
24 years of dentistry, Dr. Carl Jenkins in Watsontown. Visit us at smilesbyjenkins.com.
Radio PA's Ask the Governor program brings you access to Pennsylvania's governor like you've never had before. You can send your questions and comments to Governor Tom Wolf now by going to PAMatters.com and clicking the Ask the Governor link at the top of the page. You could be part of our next edition of Ask the Governor.
School funding, investment in schools is really important to me. My goal is to try to provide for a fair tax system for everybody. I said, send me a full year budget, a real budget, and I'll let it pass. We need to get to work to get this budget done.
You can also listen to Ask the Governor and watch exclusive video clips from the show on PAMatters.com.
This is Governor Tom Wolf. We'll talk about the issues that affect you on Ask the Governor. You can submit your question or comment today by visiting PAMatters.com.
Ask the Governor is a production of Radio PA and PAMatters.com in association with TFM Advertising.
We're back to the Main Street Parade, and so far almost all of it featuring the amazing displays of Tri-County Sports.
You said it, Bill. Check out those vehicle wraps. Everyone will know those business names and numbers now.
And here comes a whole school wearing T-shirts designed by Tri-County Sports.
Unbelievable.
Tri-County Sports, your go-to when you need to stand out. Let our team design and wrap your vehicles. We do everything from silk screening to full print banners, T-shirt printing, license plate design, and more. All under one roof on Route 11 just outside Northumberland. Online at tcssportsstore.com. Tri-County Sports, we get you noticed.
Are you ready for extreme saving? Go to Dirt Cheap Surplus, where everything is, well, dirt cheap. You don't need coupons to save at Dirt Cheap, because it's extreme savings every day. All kinds of stuff. Small appliances, office, toys, tools, sporting goods, vanities, holiday items, gifts, everything, including the kitchen sink. Literally. And inventory is always changing. Open 8 a.m. till 8 p.m. Monday through Saturday with deals you didn't know existed. Dirt Cheap Surplus, 200 North River Avenue, Sunbury, where it's all dirt cheap.
When bad weather strikes, don't go anywhere until you hear our latest WinterNet list of school closings, cancellations, postponements, business updates, and road conditions all winter long, right here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. You'll get up-to-the-minute information twice an hour all through the storm, sponsored by W&L Subaru, the Susquehanna Valley's all-wheel drive headquarters. Also, keep up with the latest WinterNet postings online at WKOK.com.
Absolutely no surprise. Akil Lynch wants to have, he wants to be a 20 to 25 carry a game guy. And when you see Saquon Barkley on the roster, you know that's probably not going to happen, plus other guys on the roster. And I think there isn't a single person that's surprised that Akil Lynch is going to transfer. He's going to get his degree in the spring, and then he'll be a graduate transfer. And I hope he goes someplace that allows him to get the ball 20 to 25 times a game. Fabulous guy, good running back. You watch Saquon Barkley, he's an exceptional running back. Well, Akil Lynch is very, very good. It also means something else. Do you know what Akil Lynch transferring out means, Kevin?
Another scholarship opens up.
Besides that, it means in the Tax Slayer Bowl, it is the last time in your life that you will see number 22 on the field for Penn State.
That I did not know.
Because remember, John Capoletti's number 22 was retired. And he allowed Akil Lynch to wear number 22 until he left.
Yeah, I didn't realize that. You may have said that. I just didn't remember to realize it.
So that's the last time number 22 is worn in a Penn State game was the Tax Slayer Bowl. And Akil Lynch wore it with John Capoletti's permission. John said, keep the number until you're done. So that's what that means. I hope he does well. Matt Limegrover being named the offensive line coach today, in reality, is the big story of the day. This is a great hire. I really have liked what I've seen from the Minnesota offensive lines over the last 4 years, five years. When they played Penn State, big physical attack you, go after you. Jack Ham and I often talked about how good we thought the Minnesota offensive line happened to be. And I think not being the offensive coordinator is going to be a huge plus for Matt Limegrover. Huge. Where he gets to lock in and be the offensive line coach instead of having to split that duty. And I think it's going to allow him to flourish, and it's going to allow Penn State to flourish. And he's getting his hands on some incoming talent here and some existing talent, such as an Andrew Nelson, a Brendan Mann, a Steven Gonzalez, a Ryan Bates, guys like that, where I think they're starting to make that turn here. And he has a reputation of being an excellent teacher. On Jerry Kill's staff all the way through Southern Illinois, Northern Illinois, into Minnesota. Tracy Clays, when he took over as the head coach, decided at the end of last season to make some changes. He wants to take the offense in a different direction because, remember, Matt was the coordinator as well as being the offensive line coach. I think him locking in and being the offensive line coach, where he's just the offensive line coach and doesn't have to be the coordinator, is going to really benefit him and really benefit Penn State. I think it was a home run hire. Because I was looking at potential guys out there. He was a guy I looked at right away and thought, I hope he's one of the guys on the consideration list. He not only was, he was the hire.
Steve, this just in from Steelers.com. Williams, Roethlisberger, Antonio Brown, still questionable for Sunday.
Again, you just told the audience nothing. Josh Reeves won't play tonight for Penn State. Did not make the trip. 8 o'clock the airtime, 8:30 the tip-off here at Purdue. See, that's news, for example.
Your station for news, weather, business, and CBS Sports Radio. News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury and on WKOK.com.
If you're so inclined somewhere along the line,